Let's look at the word now. This Sunday evening, we're going to begin a series in Nahum. And Nahum, the prophet, he is one of those prophets that speaks not so much to God's people, but he speaks to unbelievers. Nahum, the prophet, speaks to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. And at that time, Assyria was an empire. They were at the top of their game. They were mighty. They dominated and ruled over the peoples, broad swath of the Middle East, all the way down to Egypt. In some ways, when you think of Nahum, you want to think of him as being similar to the prophet Jonah. He's like a second Jonah. Jonah came to Nineveh with a message of judgment against Nineveh. Nahum comes with a message of judgment from God against Nineveh, this great people. But there's a difference with Nineveh and Nahum, a difference with Nahum's message to them. When Nahum comes, he's coming years later. Nineveh had once repented when Jonah had come to Nineveh, and they had once tasted the mercy of the Lord. When Jonah preached judgment against Nineveh, the people of Nineveh did repent, and they did receive mercy from the Lord. You remember Jonah 3:10. Then God saw their works, Nineveh's works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And then the end of Jonah, Jonah 4:11. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock. But now it's many years later, many, many years later, and Nineveh, once repentant, has turned away from the Lord. And the Lord's wrath and judgment against Nineveh, once again, has been stirred up. So we've come to this one verse that we'll touch on tonight from Nahum. Nahum 1:8. But with an overflowing flood, he, the Lord, will make an utter end of its place, and darkness will pursue his enemies. The Lord declares that Nineveh, whom he once spared, has now become an enemy of God, and he, God, will be an enemy against Nineveh. Now, there are many people today like Nineveh, who were once under the threat of God's judgment. They lived against God. God came against them. And then their lives started to shake. Maybe the way he did that was their addictions started to catch up with them. Or maybe their families, loved ones, relationships started to fall apart. Or maybe their job was in jeopardy, and it woke them up. And under the threat of God's hand, they turned to the Lord. They turned from sin. They cried to God for mercy, and the Lord did relent. But now, time has passed for people. Years have passed, and they have started to drift from God. They have forgotten God. Maybe you know people like that. Maybe that's been your experience. It would be like this. You look at them, some of these people, maybe yourself. When you saw them back then, when they had turned to the Lord, you were amazed at their commitment to God. It was radical. It was utter. But when you see them now, years later, you wonder, what happened to you? What happened? Paul in Galatians 5 speaks to people who once held to the gospel of grace, once held to Jesus Christ and him alone. But in Galatians, the people had started to turn away from it. They'd been lured away from it. And so Paul says to them in Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? He's saying, what happened to your faith? What happened to your commitment to leave all and to follow Christ? Who slowed you down in pursuing the Lord? Why have you stopped following the Lord? This even happened with people not just in Galatia, but with people who walked and talked with Jesus in the flesh. In the days when his earthly body was there, he would sit in their prayer meetings, in their gatherings as the congregation. His earthly body was available for them to ask him questions, to have conversation, to eat meals, physically proving himself to them by miracles that they saw. Even with all that, in his day, plenty of disciples of Jesus stopped being disciples of Jesus. We remember John 6:66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. When the other disciples, see other disciples leaving Jesus, Jesus probes the 12 who remain. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The question for us tonight is, will you keep following Jesus, even if others leave, even if everyone else around you leaves? Jesus asks, "Do you also want to leave?" Now, sometimes we do leave. Sometimes you do leave. You leave him when you make the choice to pick back up the pet sin that you once had put down. It could be something drastic, like a return to drinking excess, a return to drug use, a return to sexual rebellion. But you can also leave him when you decide to pursue vengeance instead of forgiveness, to pursue vengeance instead of love, refusing to forgive. You can also leave him when you choose quarreling over peacemaking, self-interest instead of unselfishness. We leave him in all those ways. And sometimes, we leave him for a long time. And then we're scared to turn back to him, certain that his rash wrath will crush us. Or sometimes we become cynical and we decide there's just no point in coming back to him. There is someone, though, who never wandered. That entire city of Nineveh left the Lord God, and in doing so, they brought judgment upon themselves. In the gospel, Jesus Christ was left by everyone, every single disciple, but he never left God. And by never leaving God, he brought judgment down on himself so that many sons could be brought to glory. Here's what you need to see. Though you stumble, though you wander, if you cling to Jesus' faithfulness, God is so pleased with you. Why? Why would God be pleased with you? Because God the judge is pleased with the solo faithfulness of Jesus. And with that same pleasure that he has for the solo faithfulness of Jesus, that righteousness of faith, not of works, is your righteousness. He has that pleasure for you. And so Jesus asks you, "Do you also want to go away?" And we say, "Lord, to whom else shall we go?"